Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Talk Sports Knoxville. Talk Sports.
Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lauken with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey. We talking sports. Talk sports.
Hour three kicking off the Fan Run Studios. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, check out the pod. FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech. 245 Tech wants to help you protect your website, protect your livelihood. If you do any e-commerce, if you have any data on your customers on your website, you need to make sure that they are protected. 245 Tech will do just that. They are located in Knoxville, right there on Kingston Pike, over in the Bearden area. Cody McClure, Hour 3 Headlines. Collision course, right now!
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
What is with this new Coca-Cola ad campaign of, like, Coke is just good with every meal? Like, have you been seeing these commercials? They did, like, cookout food the other day.
Are you doing, like, a routine right now?
What do you mean?
You sound like Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal with this Coca-Cola?
No. I'm not doing a routine. I'm saying I saw one the other day with, like, cookout food, like hot dogs, burgers. It's like, enjoy an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Then there was one with pizza, and the reason I bring it up now is because I have a computer ad right here. I'm getting ready to read a story on ESPN, and there's just a big-ass plate of spaghetti and meatballs with a Coke beside it that says, enjoy with a Coca-Cola. It's like they're advertising like every food. Have a Coke.
I mean, is this a headline or is this just an observation? Like, I feel like
it's just something I noticed. Have you not noticed it?
No, I mean, I feel like last hour you got mad that we only got to one headline, and now floor is yours.
Let's stay on track here. Let's focus.
Coke is good with every meal.
Coke and pizza is great. I meant to say Coke and spaghetti. Coke and spaghetti, not that good.
It's just a weird...
It's kind of a weird combo.
It's just an ad. It's just a big plate of spaghetti and meatballs. It's Coke.
It makes me think about whether or not I want a Coke with my meal.
I guess. And former NFL star Peyton Manning is set to join Kobe Bryant's new show, Detail, as the program expands into NFL analysis this fall.
You know what? I think I'm finally going to sign up for ESPN Plus.
Kobe won an Academy Award for his animated short film, Dear Basketball.
Which doesn't really have anything to do with Detail. Why are they writing about that?
Because he's going to return.
Basically just saying he's good at what he does. I mean, he did the Detail last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. So Peyton will host, write, and share insights for the football version of Detail, which will be edited by NFL Films. The 8-episode series will also appear exclusively on ESPN+. So in addition to the Buffalo Central Michigan game, you can get Kobe's Detail on ESPN+.
I think that's going to be enough for me to finally sign up. That's going to get my $5 a month, at least for a little bit. I do want to see how Peyton does breaking down a quarterback.
I've always enjoyed talking football with coaches, players, and fans, and that's at the core of this show, Peyton said in a statement. I'm honored to help expand Kobe's Detail to a football audience. Well, that's interesting. I'm sure there'll be a lot of eyes glued to the television for that one.
First episode drops tomorrow and highlights Josh Rosen's performance against the Vikings. I think it'll be fascinating to watch Josh Rosen, you know, a rookie quarterback who I think might be the second best, if not the best, rookie quarterback. I think deep down the road, Rosen has just as much star potential as Darnold. I might be completely wrong on that. Darnold's been pretty good so far, but I like Rosen. I like Rosen's makeup. He made some pretty good throws against the Vikings. I want to see what Peyton thinks about him and what Peyton thinks about, or how Peyton, I guess, watches the game.
Big Bird is retiring. The original Big Bird, Carol Spinney, after 50 years, has said it's time to step down from Sesame Street.
Okay.
So Big Bird, the voice of Big Bird, retiring from Sesame Street. That's breaking news. I just saw that come in from the New York Times. So be sure to let Davy Hudson have your condolences on that. Update on
He might be up for the new job.
Might be. He could play that role. Update on former Ole Miss coach Andy Kennedy, who I saw in town last week with Rick Barnes. Turns out Andy Kennedy is joining ESPN and the SEC Network as a season-long college basketball analyst.
I mean, yeah, that's what Todd from Hops and Hollers told you.
I know he did, but it's now...
You're making this about you. Your report was wrong. Your report was Andy Kennedy's joining Tennessee staff. Todd from Hops and Hollers' report was, no, he works for the SEC Network. I would no longer cite yours.
Well, no, this is a different thing.
Huh?
I didn't have a report. I had an observation.
You were reporting that...
He was with Rick Barnes.
You reported that he was joining the staff.
I didn't report
anything. I remember a report that says you... that you were reporting that Andy Kennedy and Rick Barnes working together.
Well, this is an update because he is now joining ESPN and the SEC Network as a full-time analyst. He worked with them during the SEC tournament last year, but he's joining in for the season now.
Okay.
This was just released.
Okay. So he's not joining Rick Barnes' staff at Tennessee?
As of now, it would appear that he's not.
Okay.
Door's still open. Door's still open. I mean, anything can happen in college basketball. I think we all know that. But as of now, it does not appear he will be joining Rick Barnes' coaching staff at UT.
Okay. Just checking. Damn.
Thought
we were going to get that one right.
The Buffalo Bills locker room has been completely divided and, well, not really divided, just basically all against Nathan Peterman. And now Buffalo has decided they will start quarterback Derek Anderson against the Colts.
I cannot say that I blame them.
A report came out from CBS that said the Bills are, quote, losing the locker room over Nathan Peterman. So not only are they losing games because of Nathan Peterman, they're losing their entire team morale and their entire franchise.
Derek Anderson's stats in 2017, 1-for-4, I believe. It says 25%. I'm going to assume 1-for-4, 17 yards. Maybe 2-for-8. That'd be really sad if he was 2-for-8 for 17 yards, but now he's the starting quarterback. Anything is possible.
I mean, the franchise might just move to a new city because of this. That's how bad Nathan Peterman is. Nathan Peterman is essentially taking the city of Buffalo in his hand and dropping back in the pocket, getting ready to throw it somewhere on the West Coast.
But the good news is it'll be intercepted and returned back to Buffalo.
It'll probably be intercepted in Iowa, somewhere like that.
I'll just let them have joke. Runs it back to where it was. Pick six joke.
Oh, it was a good thing.
Yeah, back in Buffalo.
Funny.
Yeah.
Run it right back to where it started because that's what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a report. Can I interject with the headline?
Please do.
Got a development on Kevin Durant's Instagram.
Okay.
As he posted a photo, from the ring ceremony last night. The Warriors got their rings last night before the Oklahoma City Thunder game. And if you scroll down the comments on Kevin Durant's Instagram post, we have Tony Durant, who once played in Knoxville at the Bobby Mays Celebrity basketball game. I watched Tony Durant play basketball in person for some reason. He comments on the photo, fill up the hand before we get out of there.
Who is Tony Durant?
It's Kevin Durant's brother.
Okay, so he basically just hangs around and...
He sort of plays basketball.
Accepts his money.
I want to say he played basketball. Like I said, he came to play in the Bobby Mays Celebrity Game. I don't know if he like...
What kind of stars are in the Bobby Mays Celebrity Game?
I mean, Kevin was supposed to come. They thought Kevin Durant was coming. We got Tony instead.
Tony's the guy who runs some of those Twitter accounts, probably.
Probably. But from his Instagram, he said, let's fill up the hand before we get out of there.
Go to New York.
Yeah. Let's get as many rings as we can, then bounce. Mm. Just a development. Mm. Just something to keep an eye on.
Man, it's going to be so awesome when Durant's in New York, LeBron in L.A., Battle for America. It's going to be like Tupac and Biggie again.
And then the Warriors will still win.
Hope nobody gets shot. Shad Khan is withdrawing his offer to buy Wembley Stadium. This is big, from the Jags owner. We've been talking about him. Shad Khan is going to buy Wembley and move the Jags to London. Well, now he apparently doesn't want to. Or at least he's not buying Wembley. He has withdrawn his offer. Wembley Stadium will not be sold, apparently. Seems like big news.
I wonder does that mean he just got a bunch of blowback in Jacksonville?
I'm assuming it couldn't work out the taxes, too.
Yeah. I would say that they're like, hey, no, you cannot move the Jaguars to London, but also be based in Jacksonville and London. I don't know. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
And, I'm sure the players would have hated, playing four games in London and having 50% tax.
And the Jags were terrible this week as these rumors were swirling. So maybe he's like, yeah, I need to just pull out of this.
Mr. Khan believed that his offer to buy Wembley would release funds to help improve community football facilities in England and would be well-received by all football stakeholders. But at a recent meeting with Mr. Khan, he expressed that without stronger support from within the game, his offer is being seen as more divisive than it was anticipated to be, and he has decided to withdraw his proposal. Well, how about that?
All right. Any other headlines?
Devontae Freeman is going to be placed on injured reserve as the Falcons continue their season from hell.
Yeah, I picked up third-string running back on the Falcons in fantasy. You want to tell me about your fantasy team next?
I'm not really playing anymore.
Oh.
I think my team's 1-5 now, and I'm just... I won week one. That's what sucks about it. I've taken 5 L's in a row.
So whenever you were talking about that community with your friends last week, it only lasts for a couple weeks until you give up? Kind of like I said, people did?
I don't know. Check the tape, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like I said, a lot of people usually give up before the end of the year.
Can I say one more thing?
You can say as many things
as you
want.
Did you see this thing about Tom Brady and Tim Tebow?
No.
Tom Brady once promised Tim Tebow he'd watch over Aaron Hernandez.
No, let's talk about that next because there were some actual revelations that came out about Aaron Hernandez that we haven't talked about. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Give me the Tom Brady, Aaron Hernandez stuff. That was actually a pretty good tease. I'm intrigued. I didn't Google it. I want you to tell it to me for the first time.
Brady apparently told Tim Tebow way back in the day when Tebow was with the Denver Broncos that he was doing his best to watch over Hernandez. There was another report that Brady was concerned about Hernandez. Apparently one time in practice, they were running through their offensive drills and stuff like that, and Hernandez was like kind of goofing off, just kind of being, just didn't really care about it, and Brady has like a really serious attitude toward the walkthrough.
Yeah, I mean, and that doesn't surprise you at all. You would think Brady is cut from the same cloth as Belichick in that regard of like, hey, when we're at practice, we need to be perfect because we're going to be perfect in the game. So I'd imagine that he does not like people goofing off.
Yeah, well, apparently Brady yelled at Hernandez because obviously at that point in time you didn't know
that he was a murderer.
That he was a murderer, and Brady's like, hey, get it together. He's like, you know, Brady's the commander in chief. And Hernandez apparently looked at him with just like this death stare, like just a look in his eyes that was like terrified Brady. It was basically just, I'll kill you, essentially. Now, that's in hindsight, of course. People are talking about it now.
What if he would have killed Brady?
But at the time,
the biggest sports story ever.
And apparently Hernandez ended up just storming off that practice and didn't come back. But looking back on it now, though, like I do imagine like Tom Brady's probably thinking, man, I kind of hate that I yelled at that guy. You know, I got lucky yelling at that guy. But, yeah, apparently he told Tebow at one point that he was doing his best to watch over Hernandez as he was concerned about him. He said, and Tebow responded, I appreciate that, man. They're good guys. Ultimate cold take by Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, Spikes was on that team too, right? Like, was
yeah,
it
they're talking about Brandon Spikes.
Okay, I was going to say, Spikes was on the Patriots as well.
Brady said, yeah, but they're, quote, a lot to handle.
Did you see the big Boston Globe report about Hernandez that went into Hernandez's past, his background, and it was trying to kind of piece together exactly why Aaron Hernandez became Aaron Hernandez? Because, like, we had all kind of just chalked it up to, like, gang culture, right? Like, just him wanting to be a thug, him kind of getting immersed in gang culture. And they went back and interviewed Hernandez's brother, who was saying, well, our dad used to beat him pretty good. Our dad used to beat him pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about him being sexually abused as well. Talking about him dealing with a uncertain sexuality. They had his high school quarterback basically on record saying, yeah, me and Aaron Hernandez were in a relationship together. But that Hernandez was, you know, obviously struggling with his sexuality and, you know, never came out about it. But was just, you know, another demon, quote unquote, that he was fighting. Kind of tried to go kind of go back in his past and try to figure out exactly how Aaron Hernandez became a murderer.
And like more stuff that came out from that report is that, you know, like when new players would come in, players who were already there would basically warn them about Hernandez, like, he's going to come talk to you about gay sexual relations and things like that sometimes. And also, some days he'll be really happy and joyous and like the most kind-hearted guy, whereas other days you'll think he's going to kill you. He'll be like the most just passionate, just cold kind of guy. And his mood swings and his changes would just go from like one extreme to another in brutal. It's like a brutal change. Like, you know, I don't know if it's signs of like a bipolar disorder, like multiple personalities or something like that. But he had a lot going on in his mind for sure. And the CTE stuff probably didn't help.
Do we look back on some of this and does it make more sense? Does it almost paint him as sympathetic? Can you be sympathetic of someone who is maybe a, and maybe it should just be classified as a serial killer, right? Like, once you start getting multiple bodies, like, either you have to say you're just a criminal kingpin, or you're just kind of have, you know, serial killer tendencies. Whenever your answer is to, well, this guy crossed me, I'm just going to kill him. Like, that's kind of that type of mentality. Are you allowed to feel bad for him when you read about his father, you know, beating him? And as his brother says, like, you know, we were crying and I was saying, hey, we're going to call the cops. And he's like, call them. As you call them, I'm going to beat you even harder, and you and your brother are going to have to pull me off of you. Like, basically, like, call the cops. By the time the cops get here to get you, you'll be dead. pretty much is what they said. Like, and you can't do anything with that as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a father who's doing that to you and you're not strong enough to fight him off, like, if the dad flat out tells you, call them, you'll be dead by the time the cops get here. I'd imagine you don't call the cops, right? Mm-hmm. I'd imagine you don't take that chance. Now, look, there are people who have experienced terrible things like that as a kid who haven't grown up to be serial killers, who haven't grown up to be thugs,
yeah.
Murderers. Like, so, like, I mean, just because you experience something like that doesn't mean that it's excused what happens. I'm not saying that at all. Like I said, there are people who have been sexually abused who don't grow up to sexually abuse people. Well, although, like the statistics show, you're more likely to have those qualities if you're exposed to them as a kid.
Well, and not everyone responds in the same way to things like that, to trauma and things like that. You know, like it would be hard to sit here and defend a murderer, but at the same time, you ask if you can have sympathy for someone like that, and I think you can. When you see all the different reports about the stuff running through Aaron Hernandez's mind and how just completely insane he got, I think we can all agree anyone who kills somebody has something wrong going on in their mind, because, like, we can't fathom, you know what I mean? Like, we can't sit here and fathom murdering someone. Like, no one in this room has ever killed anyone, except maybe intern Andrew. I don't know. But we just can't really process it. You know what I mean? Like, something's got to be different in the brain for you to kill someone. I don't know if that means you have sympathy for those people, or if some kind of mental health diagnosis could fix it, or if you could get it early before a rampage happens. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's something different going on there.
His boyfriend from high school, his quarterback, you know, basically had said, you know, Aaron Hernandez wanted to be a cheerleader. And said basically he had tried to, you know, basically, you know, that wasn't a option, I guess, with his dad. You know, like, his dad's abusing him, beating him up. Like, I'd imagine his dad's not going to accept a gay son type of thing. Yeah. And all that just kind of kept, you know, building up with Hernandez. And then is it the definition of someone taking so much and then eventually just snapping? Because, like, this does kind of make it feel like it's not just CTE related to me. And maybe that's a big revelation here, because we all kind of looked, you know, when this Hernandez stuff happened, of, you know, gang, football gave him CTE, he snapped. To me, this, from the Boston Globe, kind of paints this as, no, this was probably boiling for a long time. This was a guy who had dealt with a lot of stuff. I mean, that's a pretty big trifecta to deal with as a man growing up. An abusive father, being molested, and, you know, being a closet homosexual who's afraid to, I guess, be okay with who he is, or I guess live the way he is. Like, then you combine that with getting hit in the head, right, and being aggressive, yeah, and then the gang stuff, and, like, it's just a pretty explosive concoction.
Exactly. That was the word I was thinking of, concoction. It's like when you create a drink that has all these different elements in it, and you mix it together, and it can become lethal.
Yeah,
it's like making crystal meth.
Ask Houston Chris. He drank a concoction similar to that earlier today. Like,
yeah,
he's probably experiencing the same type of change in his body right now.
Right. Like, if you combine battery acid with rat poison with, I don't know, whatever the stuff is, and the cough syrup, and the, you know, however you make crystal meth, I'm not sure how to make it, but you add that stuff together, and it creates a new thing that is just very lethal and dangerous.
So what we're saying is Houston may kill Davey in the morning. I don't know. We'll,
yeah,
see.
We'll have to see how he reacts to all that stuff.
But I do think,
and then
these,
Davey can't play the Big Bird role.
I do think these revelations, I do think this report makes me more understanding of how someone like Aaron Hernandez became Aaron Hernandez. Because at first you're just like, man, how did you have a $40 million contract and turn into this?
Yeah.
Now, you don't really turn into it. I think, like, we kind of see, like, there's just a lot of demons.
Yeah.
Awkward transition. Travis McKinney from the McKinney team joins us next for Buy or Sell. We'll tell you who won the two tickets to the Alabama game. and we'll do our segment with him. Stay tuned to Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Davey Hudson and worldwide, Knoxville's interactive sports radio revolution is streaming on FoxSportsKnoxville.com and our free app. Yeah, I said free. F-R-E-E. Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio.
Back on the program, Travis McKinney from the McKinney team joins us for his weekly buy or sell segment. Travis, thanks as always for making time for us. You finally get to come in after a big win.
Yeah, it's exciting. Is everybody still fired up in here?
Yeah.
I know I am. So.
I mean, we've kind of addressed, like, you know, we wish we didn't have to go play Alabama the week after a big win. Oh, it'd be boy. Really, I think we'd be at a 10 right now if South Carolina was next, right?
Oh, yeah, we'd be. Definitely. We just know it's about to be back to – not reality. I mean, we're going to get beat by Bama. That's just not even really a question. But the exciting thing is what we have to look forward to on the next five after that, the remaining five after that game.
Yeah, before we talk about the next five, I'll go ahead and ask you, buy or sell. Me and Cody had this discussion earlier. It was actually, I believe, our Toyota Knoxville poll question. Buy or sell, Tennessee beats Alabama in the next 5 years.
Buy. Buying we beat Bama in the next 5 years.
Cody sold. Cody's like, no
he
way.
He sold?
He said you're not going to beat him as long as Saban's there. He said as long as Saban's there, Tennessee's going to lose, and he thinks Saban's going to be there at least 10 years. So he thinks we're going to be riding like a 21-game losing streak like we're Kentucky or something.
Whew, no, yeah. I'm buying that we will beat them in the next 5 years. And I'm not sure Saban will be there in 5 years. But
I feel like I've been saying that for the last 5 years.
I hope he is. I'd love to beat him at least once before he retires.
I think if you'd have asked me 5 years ago if I thought that Nick Saban was going to be here 5 years later, I'd be like, I don't know. I hope not. Maybe he'll go to the NFL. Maybe he'll get bored. But he's still, you know, rolling along like we with the best team he's ever had, probably. Mm-hmm.
That loss to Clemson reinvigorated him in a new way. Now he wants to go win every national title.
You know that? Yeah. In hindsight, maybe we shouldn't have been rooting for Clemson. Maybe we should just get bored of it. Just win six in a row and just go. Just quit. Leave.
Yeah. Hey, maybe he'll go to Texas after Tom Herman leaves.
Yeah. Maybe he'll go to Auburn after they fire Gus after Tennessee beat him. I don't.
Expensive fire.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so are you buying or selling Tennessee's bowl chances after beating Auburn? Will Tennessee get to six wins?
You know, I am fired up about this Auburn win. I'm not sure Auburn is as good as we thought. So I'm not going to just think that now we're the next best thing. But, you know, these next five games after Bama, we're going to be 3-4. I mean, you could get to eight wins. I mean, you really can.
Okay, so you're buying the bowl chances then, right?
Bowl chances for sure buying bowl. We're making a bowl. Mark it down.
I think 8-4 would obviously be amazing. I think Knoxville would be on fire like it hasn't been in a long, long time, if Tennessee rallies to go 8-4, I'm still very happy with six wins. I think seven's possible. I doubt they could, you know, sweep the last five, but I mean,
I agree.
South Carolina is not a good football team, and to kind of go back to your Auburn point, I think we were really fortunate that they were ranked in the top 25. Like, we caught them right at the very end of them being ranked in the top 25 before we figured out, like, hey, this isn't a great team. South Carolina, I think there's a chance that we go in against South Carolina and, you know, it's a 3-point spread or something like that, and Tennessee has more to play for, and Tennessee feels a hell of a lot better about their situation than South Carolina will.
Well, you do that, and then you have Charlotte for homecoming, and then you're at five wins, and then you have two big home games in a row with Kentucky and Missouri, and Kentucky's going to be coming off a 3 or 4 game very hard stretch when they come into Neyland, and so they're going to be hopefully beaten up, and those two games there will be huge, because then if we, you know, if those two happen and we go down to Vandy, we're gonna put it to Vandy.
If Tennessee loses to South Carolina, Cody, do you think that Kentucky atmosphere will still be great? Are you buying or selling that if Tennessee loses to South Carolina and you're sitting at 3-5?
Yeah, I think it'll still be a good atmosphere because
not even good, like great. Do you think it could be like
great?
Another big game type of feel to it, because the Auburn win still only be a couple weeks removed, and it'll be the first time Tennessee's going to have a chance to have had a big home win this season.
I'll sell on great. I don't remember the last time we had a great atmosphere for a November game. It's too cold.
I mean, I don't remember the last time we've really gotten to November where we were playing big football either.
Like all of our
had a toss up game really. Like 2014 Missouri, what was that atmosphere like? I don't remember.
Not great. It was cold. Our big games are usually always September, October, and I know Kentucky may come in ranked if they don't completely lose it between now and then, but I'll sell that for now.
Is it fair to compare that game, this year's Kentucky, to that 2014 Missouri?
Missouri was going to win the East that year.
Yeah, I mean,
Missouri really needed that win.
Tennessee was favored by 6 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee was favored by 6 points in that game, and Tennessee needed it to get to a bowl game, we thought. I mean, they ended up rallying to get to one, right? In 2014, they ended up rallying to get to one. But, Tennessee was favored by 6 points and had came off that South Carolina comeback win and felt good about themselves. So it does feel like there might be some parallels to that Missouri game and this Kentucky game.
And you were coming off a win over Kentucky, too. So you had just started to kind of reel a couple off going into it. So I'd say that was your last, fairly big November game.
Yeah, November. Because, typically Kentucky and Vandy are always in November, and they're always pretty bad. I mean, it started changing a
either,
little bit.
Either they're awful or Tennessee hasn't done their part or they've disappointed or, something like that. Are you buying or selling that? If Tennessee loses to South Carolina, would you consider the Kentucky game a huge game with a great atmosphere? Or are you kind of with Cody like, hey, it's just going to be too cold? And
no, I'm buying. I think it will be a great atmosphere because the team still has a lot to play for. And it's obvious they're not giving up. This is not the team we saw last year. They're just getting better, and it's unfortunate we're not going to have Betulia in that first half against Alabama. That's a huge loss. I don't know if you guys have discussed that, how big that really is.
Yeah, but especially when you combine that with losing Kongbo, like you're having to replace two starters, like Kongbo jokes aside, like he didn't live up to expectations, but he had sort of turned the corner and started playing good football, and now you're replacing him and your I don't know the stats, but I would imagine Betulia's your leading tackler for the season. I would imagine that. I might be wrong.
I don't know if he is actually, but he's the defensive captain. He calls the plays.
Right.
So who's going to go in there and take that over and step up? So will we see the freshman this week? Now the Kongbo's for sure out, and this we were supposed to see him last week, possibly.
You would think J.J. Peterson gets kind of thrown into that because, at the very least, you can come in and play the Kongbo position of, hey, just go after the passer. When you get rotated in, I don't think he's going to be starting by any means or anything. We did discuss the Betulia loss, and we kind of sort of just looked at it as like, it'll be a half fresher when we play South Carolina because I don't think Betulia is going to be the difference between you beating Alabama or not. So we almost looked at it as a sort of a positive for him.
He can rest.
For him staying fresh.
Yeah, he can rest a little bit. And then, we've talked about this before, too, with Kongbo out. I mean, like we said, there's obviously the next guy up is not as good as Kongbo, as bad as he has been or disappointing. Yeah, Pruitt's going to play the guys. He's not afraid to play freshmen. It's obvious. They're all over the field. He's playing whoever's best at the time. So
now you'll be in attendance for the Tennessee-Alabama game, correct?
For sure.
Are you excited for the game?
I am very excited. Okay. I hope we go in there and at least play close for a half and do a few things that maybe surprises Bama. And, we obviously took shots downfield against Auburn. It worked. I mean, that was an incredible game by JG, and they let our big receivers go up. And I thought that was our strength going into the year with these receivers, and we finally got them the ball, and it showed what they can do.
Yeah, the pass blocking was
really good.
Was better. Garantano still was taking shots, but he was still having enough time to let the receivers get down the field. I was really excited for the Auburn game by the time it rolled around. I'm just kind of wait and see, but just ready for this to be over with the Alabama game. I'm ready to be on to South Carolina. So you'll be in attendance. Who is going to win two tickets courtesy of the McKinney team?
Oh, so Trey out of West Tennessee nailed it with Ty Chandler 50 yards. It hit it right on the number.
Really?
So, yeah. There was actually a 52, a 47, 48, and then the 50 popped up. He drilled it right on the number. So he's driving up from West Tennessee to come to the game on Saturday. He's coming up Saturday morning. So,
so you've contacted him.
He's already knows he's the winner, and I think he pretty much knew when he was the guy that had the exact number. But there was a ton. Thanks for all the participation. There was a lot to go through. It was
really we had over 200, right? I mean, I believe we
had over 200. Yeah, and it was different backs, even JG thrown in there. Somebody thought Smokey was going to run for the most yards. So, gosh, I mean, we only had, 80 as a team, I think?
Yeah, I think we all came into this game thinking that Tennessee was going to have to run the ball to be successful. And they didn't really do it, and they still found a way to move the ball, which is promising. But after Mississippi State dropped, 250, 300 rushing yards on them, I thought that Tennessee would be more effective. But, if you had told me Tennessee ran for 80 yards, I would have said, well, Tennessee probably lost that game by a couple scores, but instead Tennessee wins.
We're forcing turnovers on the defense. I mean, we should have forced more against Georgia. We did force them. We just didn't recover them. But then we did it against Auburn. We actually recovered them. So that shows you the difference.
That's a great point. Like we had talked about the, you're finally able to create some disruption against Auburn, but we didn't even really, call back to the Georgia game where you had those opportunities. You had three strips and recovered zero of them. And this one, you're able to recover it for a touchdown that really made you believe, okay, Tennessee's going to win this game. Mm-hmm. They had taken the lead, and the next thing you know, it's a 10-point game, and you felt like, okay, this is going to be different. Or at least I did, sitting in here in the studios getting ready for voluntary reaction. We will have some tickets to give away in the upcoming weeks. Mm-hmm. No home games coming up. I guess we'll do it next
weeks.
Week. Yeah, 2 weeks for Charlotte. We'll give homecoming tickets away. Looking around the rest of the SEC, I was getting ready to laugh at us because we all bought that Florida was the second best team in the East, and then they were down 21-3 to Vandy.
Yeah, they were. I thought that would be a disappointing game for them, and then, of course, they found a way to win because that's what decent teams do over bad teams like Vandy. They probably are still. I mean, Kentucky, though, they're firing on all cylinders. But they do have a tough stretch coming. It'll be interesting to see how Kentucky gets through this next couple weeks.
Buy or sell, the East in the SEC is as good as the West if you remove Alabama. Who's obviously the outlier?
Buying. I think the East can compete with a lot of the mid-level teams in the West. LSU is still fifth in the nation. I'm not sure that they've beat one East team and lost to other Florida. So beat Georgia, lost to Florida. So it's kind of hard to say. But I'm buying the East is as good as the West.
I mean, I think the trio of like Missouri, Vandy, Tennessee would fare pretty well against the Arkansas and the Ole Misses on the other side. Although maybe that's an overreaction.
I think Tennessee could play with Mississippi State pretty easily, the mid-level,
Maybe. I mean, on one hand, like we're excited after a win, so like we're feeling like Tennessee might be better than they are. But I don't know. Auburn and Mississippi State played to a stalemate for a lot of that game. I know Mississippi State was winning, but they looked pretty competitive, and then Tennessee obviously looked, quite frankly, like the better team when they played on Saturday.
They did.
LSU also beat Georgia by 20, so.
Yeah, but they lost to Florida.
Right. But
I think if LSU and Georgia played at Georgia, I would pick Georgia to win that game.
If LSU played at Georgia?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's the same discussion we had last year when Auburn beat Georgia, in Auburn. I was like, yeah, if they play that game in Georgia, I would take Georgia in that game. And then they play in the SEC Championship and Georgia dominated them.
And if LSU and Florida play in Baton Rouge, you'd probably take LSU. So.
You would. Yeah, I mean, I feel like those three teams are pretty equal.
Yeah.
With maybe Florida being the third of them, but still, pretty equal. All right, that was buy or sell. If you're in the market for a home, if you're wanting to buy or sell a home or some real estate land, Travis, tell them how to contact you.
You can reach us on our Facebook page, Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams Realty. On Twitter, the McKinney team. You can call me directly, 865-548-8267, or go to our website, fill out your contact info, ZillowKnoxville.com.
Travis, appreciate you joining us as always. Appreciate the McKinney team with Keller Williams for their support. Congratulations to the winner. What was his name again?
Trey. Trey out of West Tennessee coming in.
Congratulations to Trey from West Tennessee. Hopefully he's a Fox Sports Knoxville listener. And Travis, we'll see you next week. Last call on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program for the last time, last call. Cody Mack, you going to go first or second?
Either one.
You're going first.
Stephen Hawking has profound statement in his final book.
What is that statement?
So you want to hear the story?
Oh, sorry. I want to know. I forgot how to play.
Stephen Hawking says in his final book, there is no God. Seems like an interesting thing to say as part of your final words.
Usually when you're dying, you try to make right. And even if you're not religious, you become religious just in case.
At that last second, just in case, right?
I would imagine there are a lot of people converted to religion on their deathbed, right?
Yeah.
You send that preacher in for the last time, and you're like, you know what? Actually, I was wrong. There is a God. I've been living this life all wrong. I'm sorry. I've seen the light. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess credit to Stephen Hawking for, yep, I'm coming to hell. Devil, here I come.
Stephen Hawking says there is no God. No one directs the universe. He might be rolling on into hell. Who knows?
Yeah, like I know like in heaven you're supposed to be at your best form, right? Like you get your best body. I don't know what happens in hell. He might be stuck in that wheelchair in hell.
Stay the same way? I don't know.
Spain's most wanted drug lord.
Pump your brakes, kid.
Turns himself in a week after appearing in a music video. What are you doing? Why'd you turn yourself in, bro? What are you doing? Apparently he... What does hedonistic mean? What does that mean?
A hedonist.
Yeah.
That's like
talk.
That's like being, I don't know.
What does that mean? Do we know?
Is that like devil worship?
That's what I thought too, but I didn't know. Engaged in the pursuit of pleasure. So I don't know.
Essentially like, self-indulgent.
Like sex crave.
Oh.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So basically, it's like any regular music video.
So like sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, that's essentially just your standard music video.
Oh, okay. So just, yeah, musicians in general.
He was really wanted, and he made what they're calling a daring appearance in a music video.
Who was that?
Francisco Tejan, a big drug lord in Spain.
Ah.
He was the old leader of the Los Castañas drug gang. And then he delivered himself to officers after almost 2 years on the run.
He just got tired of it?
I don't know, man. Him and his brother had been alleged to have amassed 30 million euro fortune smuggling cannabis from Morocco across the Bay of Gibraltar. Maybe he's out of money. Maybe he's just like, I ain't got no money anymore. Might as well just go to prison.
Get some free meals out of it.
I'm trying to see. Is he seen getting out of a Bentley?
Yeah.
They say the police believe his appearance in the video was intended as a message to both security forces and rival gangs that he remained in command. I don't know. I guess here's where it happened. He didn't just like all of a sudden say, hey, I'm turning myself in. Apparently they got the drop on him. They're like, hey, we know where this house is where you're doing this music video at.
Interesting.
Okay, so they kind of knew where he was at. So he's like, yeah, I'll just turn myself in. Okay.
Update on the duck boat crash. Final music is playing.
Oh. Hurry, give it to me.
Maritime law from the 1850s. Let's see. The duck vehicles in court filed a complaint that an 1851 law limits their liability because an amphibious vessel was properly maintained and prepared for voyage.
So what does that mean? They're not getting sued? They're not in trouble?
They are citing a law from 1851, filing paperwork, asking a federal court to rule they have little or no liability in the incident.
Wow. That's kind of surprising.
Killed 17 people.
Duck boats are bad. Really?
Yep.
That'll do it for us. Good job by you, Ben Lee. No problems on the video. Intern Andrew, Cody, Solid, John Reed, phenomenal.